Senate Resources Committee to order, and we do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of Senator Huggins, Stevens, Co-Chairman Wilikowski, Senator French, and myself, McGuire. We have five items on the agenda today. We're going to start with Senate Bill 309. And we do have folks online for questions, to answer questions. We've closed public testimony on it, but just for the members' edification, we have Kevin Banks from the Division of Oil and Gas, Carrie Lockhart with Marathon Oil, Nicole Boozy with Marathon Oil, and those folks are available. And Mr. Pulaski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Mike Pulaski, and I'm an aide to Senator McGuire. I believe there is a committee substitute that should be before members.
We do, and that is /R?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, I'd appreciate a motion.
So moved.
Okay. Any objection to adopting version R?
Can we get a discussion?
Yep.
I'll object for purpose of discussion.
You can walk us through it. Thank you.
Certainly, Madam Chair. On page 1 in the title section, particularly lines 4 through 7, language was added.
Stand by.
Take a short.
Take a brief at ease. We're back in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In way of explaining the R version of Senate Bill 309 before you, it's important to begin with the idea that Senator Wagner's Senate Bill 290 has been integrated into Senate Bill 309. The first change you will see is on page 1, lines 4 through 8. Language has been inserted in the title to reflect the changes that Senate Bill 290 added. We had to expand the title to integrate that language. That's relating to a credit against the tax on the production of oil and gas for a qualified capital expenditure and for certain losses and expenditures, providing a credit against the tax on the production of oil and gas for drilling certain exploration wells in the Cook Inlet sedimentary basin. There were no changes to Section 1, Section 2, or Section 3. If members will remember, this was the change to AS 4320043. This was the corporate income tax credit for certain Cook Inlet exploration. What these sections were doing was increasing the credit from 10 to 25% going forward. Section 4 was added, Madam Chair, adding a new subsection to 4320043E, and the substantive change that members will see is on page 4, lines 2 through 5. One of the concerns that came up was that qualified investments in the Cook Inlet in which a tax credit is received, we did not want those to be rolled into a rate base for a regulated facility. So a pipeline gets a credit, and you didn't want it to integrate in with the what would be a regulated facility. Section 5 was previously Section 4.
Senator Wilikowski.
Explain that to me again, Fish, if you would.
Sure.
It says, may not include in any rate base for a regulated facility submitted to a regulatory agency charged with determining an appropriate tariff the cost of any unqualified capital investment or qualified service that has been offset. Explain that to me.
The goal, Senator Wilikowski, is my understanding the section deals with the application of the credit. So the qualified investment, let's say I get a tax credit on a pipeline, then that the tax credit offsets that. I shouldn't be able to take the advantage of, I shouldn't be able to roll that into a regulated facility. And I'm not explaining this very
Kevin Banks is on like, Kevin, are you there to tell us why you wanted this change?
Could you please ask the question again, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, we're referring page 4, line 2 through 5. That's sub three. I think we do understand it, but I'd like to hear the position of the Division of Oil and Gas. This is the section that we have added that says that it may not include in any rate base for regulated facilities submitted to a regulatory agency charged with determining an appropriate tariff the cost of any qualified capital investment or qualified service that has been offset by receipt of a credit under this chapter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Kevin Banks, the Director of Division of Oil and Gas. This is an amendment that was part of embedded in the language in House Bill 229. And I was just looking to see if I could determine if that came from, I believe it was offered by Representative Seaton with the intention that should there be a, you know, obviously a credit on some kind of facility that would be, you know, regulated and providing some kind of service to the public, why then the public would see the benefit of the credit.
Okay, thank you. Marcia Davis, did you want to come on the record? And part of what's going on, just so members understand, so my original Bill 309, we're merging a couple of things today. One is Speaker Chenault's changes that were made on the House side to House Bill 229, along with Senator Wagner's bill has been merged in as well. So at any point, there might be questions, and we'll try to walk through the changes. Marcia?
Chairman McGuire, what this means is when a party goes to the RCA to establish a rate to charge for use of their facility, they essentially describe and calculate all the costs of that facility, then determine their recovery of those costs over the life of the facility, so that, and then plus a return on that cost or that interest kind of thing. So when you do that, you derive the rate that can be charged. What this is saying is when a party who has received a credit that offsets some of their costs goes before the RCA and says, we want to charge a rate to recover our costs, this ensures that the costs they're recovering are not the costs that have been offset by the credit.
Okay, great. Okay, any further questions? Okay, I'm clear on it. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Marcia, and thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Moving on, Section 5 was previously Section 4 in the original bill. Section 6 is new language. If members recall, the original intent of the corporate income tax credit under Senate Bill 309, the original version, was that in electing to take that corporate income tax credit, taxpayers shouldn't be eligible for other credits. It was always intended that that would disqualify you from the other credits in statute or royalty modifications. The language was very loose in existing law, so we've added a new section to tighten that up to be very explicit that in taking and electing to take the corporate income tax credit on those expenditures, you cannot take other tax credits or royalty modifications. Section 7, we added new language in the definition of property, looking at what is eligible for these tax credits, and excluded liquefied natural gas from manufacturing facilities, topping plants, or processing units. The goal being you really want to stick to the exploration development of the resource itself and not get into the ancillary investments that might be used. Mm-hmm. Section 8, Madam Chair, there were no changes in the original bill. Section 9 adds in a new section allowing the capital investment credits under the ACES program to be taken in 1 year as opposed to 2 years. Section 9.
Yes, Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Pawlowski, is this identical to the provisions along the same lines, or is this identical to provisions in a bill from the governor?
Senator French, I'd prefer to have Kevin Banks or Marcia Davis answer that question, so we're in the event that one piece might be a little different.
Identical is it? Yeah. Right.
I believe it is, but Kevin Banks, if you could respond to Senator French's question on the record, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, Madam Chair. I believe that, and I'm sorry to pass this off, but Marcia Davis certainly has been working all of these tax.
Excellent. Okay, we'll refer to Marcia in the future. I saw you here online and didn't know. Welcome, Marcia.
Well, I can speak to a few things, Madam Chair, but not tax.
Okay. She'll let us know when you can. How's that?
No. Kevin can speak to a lot of things.
Okay.
Yes, the these provisions that essentially deal with the conversion of the 023 credit from a two-year spread credit to a one-year credit are the same as what is in the governor's bill, and I think they've been picked up in another House bill as well. And I won't jump ahead.
I just heard her say provisions, but maybe we'll just go one at a time. Thanks so much.
Senator Wilikowski.
What's the fiscal impact of this Section 9, Marcia?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, we have a fiscal note that's indeterminate in terms of the what we've said in our fiscal note. Let me dig into it here. One of the concerns is the two-year to one-year should essentially be a wash, except for a short period of time in 1 year, because you're essentially, instead of spreading it over 2 years, so you have two halves in a year, you'll now have a whole in a year. I think in 1 year it might, you know, it's indeterminate, but we would assume maybe 50, 60 million.
Senator Wilikowski or Senator French, does that answer your question?
That's just to clarify, I think Senator Wilikowski asked this, but I'll just nail it down. That's a one-time charge. It's not every year, 50 to 60 million.
That is correct, Senator. Thank
you. And Marcia, why don't you go ahead and stay there,
okay,
if that's okay with you. Mr. Pawlowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Section 10 is conforming language to Section 9. When Ms. Davis spoke about provisions, this is a provision that relates to the previous topic we were talking about. In the language, previously you had to be issued certificates, plural, because you got one for 1 year, one for the next year. Since it's going to be 1 year, it's now just a certificate. Section 11, Madam Chair, is actually the provisions from Senate Bill 290. This was Senator Wagner's provisions, and you'll see the changes on page 7, line 23 through 26. And this is establishing the basic credit rates for the first three wells that will be drilled under the provisions found in Section 12, which is page 7, lines 27, all the way through page 9, line 3.
The committee has heard this bill a few times. This is the pre-tertiary zones. This is the stampeder.
Cook Inlet Stampede.
There you go.
Yes, it's Madam Chairman.
Oil and gas rush in the Cook Inlet. Okay, any questions on that provision in Section 11 from members? And Marcia.
Chairman McGuire, I was able to quickly read to the end of our revised fiscal note, and I just wanted to be very clear. I think I'd said 40 or 50 million in a year. It looks like what we're looking at is from 70 to 120 million spread over a two-year period.
Okay, Mr. Pawlowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Section 13, there were no changes. This was previously Section 7 in the original bill. This is the transition uncodified section that, as you move from the previous 10% to the new 25% in the corporate income tax, there needs to be regulation about how we move in between the two effective dates. Section 14 is a new section, and since these are repealers, they're repealing AS 4355-028-E2 and 4355-028-E3. And in English, Madam Chair, those are requiring, the first is the requirement that when a producer receives a capital credit, that they had to make an expenditure within 24 months of receiving that capital credit. And the E3 section was that requiring the expenditures to be equal to the credits. Would Marshall like to add something?
Yeah, just to clarify, it isn't the receipt of credits that's conditioned on the reinvestment. It's the ability to cash the credits out of the 028 fund that would require the reinvestment. And that would be an element that would affect producers that have 50,000 barrels of production per day or less.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, and then the immediate effective date. Section 15?
Madam Chair, just on...
Yeah, Senator French.
On 14, just the fiscal impact of Section 14.
Senator French, through the chair, I believe what we have here is we don't have a fiscal, again, it's indeterminate in the sense that what we don't know is what people would or would not be able to spend, because the small producers have the alternative of being able to sell those credits in lieu of reinvesting. So we haven't attempted to estimate. We haven't factored in reinvestment into our revenue forecast, so we wouldn't see a change in our revenue forecast.
Thank you.
Mr. Plowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Section 15 was in the original bill, and I believe relates back to, I want to say Section 1. Thank you, Madam Chair. Section 15, we were repealing the sunset or extending the sunset of the original corporate income tax credit out to 2020, as opposed to sunsetting it earlier.
2013,
exactly.
Okay, so that concludes presentation of the CS/R, which is a merger of some of the other bodies changes, along with Senator Wagner's Stampeder bill. So that brings it back before us. Do you remove your objections?
I have some questions, Madam Chair.
Okay.
On the bill.
Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you. For the administration, is there a requirement in Section 1, we're giving the producer a 25% credit on their income taxes, and there's a 25%, we currently have a 25% expiration tax credit, right, in Cook Inlet?
30 and 40.
Okay. So under the tax credits that you receive for expiration tax credits, do you have to share your data with the state?
Senator Wilkowski, yes, you would under 025F, I believe it is.
And under Section 1 for the income tax credit, do you have to share that data with the state?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, under the income tax credit as currently written and as would be revised by this bill, it would not require the sharing of data with DNR.
Okay. And I know that was something that we fought pretty hard to get under ACES, was data sharing. Is that something that's helpful for the administration to have in as the owner of the lease and the owner of the gas? I remember when our consultants came up to Alaska, they were just floored by the idea that we didn't have data for our own oil and gas fields.
Senator Wilkowski.
Is that an accurate description?
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair, I think this is exactly the opportune moment for me to defer to Director Banks, since it's squarely in his camp.
Director Banks, you've been summoned.
Madam Chair, and through the chair to Senator Wilkowski, I guess this is one area that I have something to say. Under the ACES 023 and 025 credits, what is different is that from what would normally be the case is that the state receives all of the data, exploration well data and seismic information on projects covered by the credit, no matter who owns the land where the development or where the exploration occurs. That is one big difference. The second difference is that under ACES, the seismic information can be made public after 10 years. Without the ACES credit, there are certain data provisions that are required. AOGCC gets all of the exploration well data, and no matter where the exploration well is drilled, without ACES, DNR gets the exploration well data for the wells that are drilled on its own land. And after 2 years, that information is made public by the AOGCC, unless extended confidentiality is granted by the Department of Natural Resources. So there are certain limitations, but there is quite a bit of well information that DNR specifically can acquire over time without any kind of credit under existing law. As I said, under ACES 023 and 025 tax credits, we get data on for wells drilled no matter where they are drilled immediately, and we would get the seismic information, which we would not be entitled to, on land that doesn't belong to the state. And as I said before, the big difference, and I think the scratch that needs to be itched by the company that is most interested in this particular bill, is that seismic information at some point would be available to the public after 10 years.
If I could, Madam Chair.
Senator Wilkoski, why don't we go ahead and offer your amendment at this point?
Okay. All right.
So that it's properly before us. If you have further questions on the CS itself, we could take those. Otherwise, if we're going to get into the subject matter of the amendment, let's offer the amendment.
Okay.
So amendment number one is R.1. Senator Wilkoski.
Offer amendment number one.
No object.
Okay. Madam Chair, this amendment basically says that if you receive a tax credit on your income tax under this provision, Section 1, then the administration gets the data, gets essentially the same data that they would get under other provisions of ACES. And just to speak to the amendment, we heard from our consultants that we hired, consultants hired by the administration, consultants hired by the legislature, that they were under ACES, that they were simply floored by the lack of data that we had as a state, as the owner of the resource. If we're giving tax credits, massive tax credits, we should at least be entitled to get the data so that we can analyze information in our own gas and oil fields. That's only fair, and that's what this provision seeks to do. My understanding for the reasoning behind doing this, Madam Chair, and I appreciate you bringing this forward, I think this addresses an important concern. The tax rates are so low in Cook Inlet, 17 cents an MCF, that for an exploration tax credit, they don't make enough money, essentially, or they don't pay enough taxes to recoup their credit. So I understand the rationale for this. I think it's a good provision that you've brought forward here. I just think that fair is fair. The state should get the data. We're giving the same amount of tax credit. We should get the data. I understand that there's a concern about so-called corner shooters and concern that if we give this information up that there's these corner shooters who will find that information out. And my understanding also is that there are ways that we can address this concern, but still protecting the state's interest. And so I guess I'd ask Kevin Banks, if I could, Madam Chair, I don't want to...
Absolutely. If we could just start for 1 second. Procedurally, you never removed your objection to adopting the CS. So we need to back up briefly.
Okay.
If you could withdraw amendment number one.
I'll withdraw amendment number one.
And then we're back on the CS. You had an objection to adoption of backslash R.
Right. I still had other questions on backslash R, but I assume you'll give me latitude to go through at that point. So I'll remove my objection, Madam Chair.
Okay, so backslash R is properly before us, and then if you'd go ahead and move amendment number one.
I'll move amendment number one.
No object.
Okay. And I guess at this point I'd like to hear from Kevin Banks and hear, if I could, Madam Chair, what the administration's position on this and how they believe, if they believe this data is useful, if it has merit, and if there are ways that we can alleviate the concerns that some of the producers have about sharing this data.
Absolutely. Okay, Kevin Banks, we will go to you on amendment number one. I assume you have a copy. If you could respond to Senator Wilkowski's question.
Madam Chair, I don't have a copy, but I've listened to a description of what the bill would do or what the amendment would do. Let me speak to it and provide at least a couple of examples of how the administration uses information and also answer the second question. But let's go to the first. There's a couple of examples I can offer. A couple of years ago, the DNR prepared a oil and gas resource data compilation for the Central North Slope and provided our own interpretation of information, public information in this particular instance, and with maps, with as much raw data as we could compile, put it into a CD, and have made that widely available on our website. We distribute it at professional meetings and meetings like the North American Petroleum Exploration Expo as a way of marketing the resource potential we think we have up here to potential new investors. A second use of information was in the gas supply study that most of you are now familiar with that we just published last December. Again, using information that we had, we provided an estimate of future gas potential supply, and that required a considerable amount of our own interpretation of information that was made available to us. But I will say one thing. We looked at four of the five largest gas fields in terms of our own geological interpretation. One of the gas fields was not included. One of those five was not included because the field is basically owned or is on land owned by the federal government, and we don't have very good data for that particular field. So, you know, there's a gap in the analysis that we did simply because we didn't have the information. Had there been, you know, a longstanding policy in the state where we could acquire information from our lessees or from our producers when they are working on somebody else's land, we would have been able to provide for this provide a more complete analysis for the gas supply study. So that's the kind of uses that we make of the data today. I hope that answers, I think, one of the questions that Senator Wilikowski asked.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. And I guess I'll just, do you support the amendment, number one? And number two, do you feel that there are ways to address the concerns that the producers have over sharing this data?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, as to your first question, do we support it? I'm in a position to say that I'm not able to support or object to the bill or the these tax credit bills. But let me say that...
Well, I'm asking about the amendment.
Yeah, what we can do perhaps to alleviate the concern of the of those who give us data, first of all, tax information that comes to the department, DNR, is subject to some fairly draconian, frankly, or very stiff penalties. Our staff can go to jail if the information is revealed. So we are perfectly aware of our own responsibilities to keep data confidential. Another way to alleviate the problem of the corner shooters, I think, is that we might think about changing what has been a kind of a laissez-faire attitude on the part of the leasing programs that we've advocated over the years, and require rather that instead of just offering up a tract of land for a minimum bonus bid of, say, $5 or $10 an acre, that maybe we should use, under existing statutes, the tools at hand to provide or require some kind of work commitment backed up by performance bonds, so that the cost of entry into a new lease on in the Cook Inlet is a little bit higher, and also would generate more benefits for the state in the form of real live work. That would take care of, I think, the concern. The corner shooters that I think that have been referred to are lessees that acquire land that's geographically near a unit or field that's already in production, with the intention of promoting their land position to investors, and then the strategy to try to make their way into the producing unit by virtue of putting pressure on either the Department of Natural Resources or the AOGCC to unitize or expand units to include their acreage. If we have at least an opportunity to move forward on leasing so that people actually have to do some work, have to show some capability of financial capability to operate a lease, I think that would tend to reduce the number of, quote, corner shooters that is a concern.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and let Carrie Lockhart from Marathon Oil or Nicole Busey comment on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Carrie Lockhart with Marathon Oil. I'm the production manager for Marathon for all the Alaska operations. Speaking on behalf of Marathon, I find this amendment very problematic in for multiple reasons, which I'll go through. I clearly understand the desire of the state and the desire of the DNR to have access to data so they can do their own geologic assessments and whatnot. And so I appreciate the intent here. However, there's a big difference between the statute as defined under ACES and North Slope and Cook Inlet. Cook Inlet is heavily regulated, and it's very competitive, and it's a very small area. And Mr. Banks is correct, and Senator Wilikowski is correct. There are corner shooters out there that are very problematic for us. With that aside, this data set, as defined by the statute, is very comprehensive. Not only does it include data gathered during the investment process that we will be receiving a tax credit on, it will include data that has been gathered years ago that go into the process of us defining where that well should be and to analyze the results of the well. And further, it doesn't just limit it to the raw data. It provides provides access to data that has been interpreted by our scientists within the company and analyzed by our scientists in the company. This is like giving up a trade secret for a company, and we find it very problematic. In fact, you know, unless, you know, there can be a process that's defined that can produce the or that can protect the proprietary data, I'm going to be hard pressed to actually consider this credit. And so what we're going to be facing at is if, you know, we don't choose to look at this credit because of the G&G data release, then my projects may not be competitive at the corporate level. Therefore, we won't be moving forward with future projects. So, you know, to me, it gets pretty black and white. The projects have to be competitive or they're not competitive in whether we choose to fund them. The big issue is with this data not necessarily going to the DNR but being released into the public domain. It's essentially handing over millions and millions of dollars that we've spent years and years to develop to go out to the public domain for anybody to pick up and use for free. That just, to me, is really a non-starter. And if you think about the 10-year clause on the seismic data, 10 years at a total life cycle of the field is very short. For instance, Kenai gas field's been producing for over 50 years. Our Nanilchik field is about 10 years old, and it's very young. So for this data to be released within 10 years is something that's troublesome. And then the well data is released over 24 months. So, again, I do not support this amendment.
Okay, thank you. Questions, Senator Wilikowski, and we're running short on time. We've got 45 minutes to get through three more bills, so I'm going to ask that we wrap up debate on this amendment. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. If you have an exploration tax credit, you have to share your data with the state, correct? Carrie?
At Marathon, the chair. Under the ACES, that is correct. We have not been taking taxes, to my knowledge, under the ACES program. Or tax credits, I'm sorry.
And that is true. Under the current law, the 30 to 40% exploration credit does require that, but their companies have expressed concern about it, and the goal is to incentivize exploration. So I maintain my objection. Is there any further debate from other committee members or questions? Senator Wilikowski, and wrap up?
Just wrap up, Madam Chair. I feel very, very strongly about this amendment. This is something that we as a state fought for. This is our land. This is our gas. This is our oil. If they want to take advantage of this tax credit, they have an obligation to share this data with us. Our consultants were absolutely floored last year under ACES 2 years ago when they found out we didn't have access to our own data that we were giving tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars away for in tax credits.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion, Senator Huggins?
Question.
Question. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator French?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
No.
Senator Huggins?
No.
Senator Wagner?
No.
Senator Willikowski?
Yes.
Senator McGuire?
No.
Two yay, four nay.
And so amendment number one fails to carry, and I encourage conversations to continue between Senator Willikowski and Director Banks on the subject, and perhaps if there were provisions put in that would protect those proprietary concerns that that the companies have, they might be more amenable. That brings the bill back before us, backslash R, and further questions, Senator Willikowski.
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like Marsha Davis to address Section 5 of the bill.
Senator Willikowski, through the chair, this provision was in the original House Bill 229 and ended up being taken out of the committee substitute House Bill 229 as it came out of committee, and the reason was that as we the language that was included ultimately ended up being really not necessary. This provision without that language is what is in the current law, and what it does is it essentially excludes the qualified capital investments or qualified services that are made for exploring or developing North Slope gas, and then also those that are made or incurred to transport that gas. And so with that said, it excluded anything associated with North Slope gas. When someone added this language, or for the delivery of Alaska North Slope gas to tidewater below 68 degrees north latitude, presumably they were trying to bulletproof it and make sure that a pipeline coming from the North Slope down wouldn't somehow fall within this tax credit. It wouldn't. Essentially, the qualified capital investment would only include gathering lines. A North Slope gas line would certainly never be a gathering line, and it's incomplete as far as a reference. It would presume to leave open a gas line that went to Canada and not to Tidewater, so it became more problematic, so the whole section was deemed unnecessary.
Okay, so you'd like to remove Section 5?
The change to Section, yeah. Essentially, we believe subsection F as it stands today solves the concern that was expressed.
Okay, got it. Excellent. Further questions, Senator Willikowski?
Do you want a motion to remove that, Madam Chair?
I would, Willikowski.
I would move that, amendment number two, we remove Section 5.
Okay, an objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing.
And renumber all other sections accordingly.
Okay, and so the amendment is to remove Section 5 and renumber accordingly. As a conforming part of the amendment, is there an objection to amendment number two? Hearing and seeing none, amendment number two carries. That brings the bill back before us for further questions. Senator Willikowski.
Yes, Section 10. We need a little explanation on this, Marcia.
Senator Willikowski, through the chair, this is the section under 023 that is essentially implementing the credit portion of A and B. And what this directs the department to do is when they issue a credit certificate, current law requires us to issue two certificates, one for one half of the expenses for the current year and one for that's good for the following year. So this language in Section 10 is essentially implementing the directive that credits be usable in 1 year instead of two.
Is there a fiscal implication, Madam Chair?
That was the question regarding from the 2 year to 1 year, and that was the estimate of 70 to 120 million spread over 2 years.
Thank you for that, Marcia. Further questions, Senator Willikowski?
I don't think I have anything else.
Any questions from the committee?
Can I just ask Marcia?
Yes, Senator Willikowski.
Marcia, does the administration have a position on the bill as a whole?
Senator Willikowski, through the chair, we've worked hard to ensure that the provisions that are in here we can administer and don't cause us problems. Obviously, as far as credits that induce activity in Cook Inlet, you know, the governor's bill is directed at more of a broad credit for statewide and infield drilling, and certainly that's what we support. This does a piece of that by targeting gas exploration for Cook Inlet in the context of corporate income tax.
Last question.
Senator Willikowski.
Any concerns that we have not addressed in this bill from the administration's perspective?
Senator Wilikowski, for the provisions that it addresses, I think we're comfortable we can implement.
Excellent. And I did open the door for a potential merger of provisions in the governor's larger bill. They're not ready today, and this bill needs to get moving. Mm-hmm. But I keep that door open and extend that to you. Mm-hmm. There are some provisions that I think we all agree on, and to the extent that this is the vehicle for that, and that Senator Stedman and Senator Hoffman see fit, then so be it. We'll work with you on that, okay? Mm-hmm. So any further discussion on the committee substitute for backslash R? Throw that sucker out. I'd take a motion. Senator Wagner, you want to make
so
the motion?
Moved, Madam Chairman.
Okay.
So
the motion. The motion to move CS for Senate Bill number 309 backslash R as amended with accompanying fiscal notes and individual recommendations out of the Resources Committee. Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so moved. Okay, thank you very much, Marcia. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Carrie, and everyone online for your patience. Next, Representative Hawker and House Bill number 280.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Mike Hawker, District 32, South Central Alaska.
Okay, so do we have, let's see here, we have Senate, we have version N before us.
Yes, Madam Chairman, and yesterday in this committee, we passed a single amendment that, as I understand it, that amendment is now incorporated into the work draft N in front of you.
Great, so I'd take a motion to adopt work backslash N.
So moved.
Okay, so we have N properly before us, incorporating the committee's recommendation. Is there further discussion? We've had the bill. We've discussed the bill. We've closed public testimony. Senator French.
Just a question for the bill sponsor. Have you had the time to go through the CS we have before us carefully to see that your amendment number one is incorporated within it as you intended?
Through the chair, Representative French. Personally, no, but I have very capable staff who would be happy to give you a different answer.
If I may pose the same question to Ms. Lucky.
Yes. Madam Chairman, Senator French, I have looked at the CS, and the amendments that you adopted yesterday are the changes that were made, and they're pretty exact.
Right. Okay, any further questions to House Bill number 280?
Pretty exact at this time of year is probably the best we're going to get.
That's right. Okay, I'm getting the signal from Senator Wagner to throw this one out of the committee too. Senator Wilikowski.
Madam Chair, I'd move that we move Senate CS for House Bill number 280 backslash N out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay, is there any objection to that motion? Hearing and seeing none, 280 has moved. Thank you, Representative Parker, for your good work on the Cocaine Recovery Act.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and we really do appreciate the thorough attention this bill's received.
But with the provisions today, I think we've done some good work on Cook Inlet. Finally. Okay, let's bring up HJR 40. This pertains to the Beluga Endangered Species Act work. And who do we have? We have Jeff. Welcome to the committee. There is a committee substitute before us. I'm told that you are aware of it, and your boss approves of the changes.
Yeah, Jeff Turner, staff of Representative Millett. Representative Millett is fine with the changes.
Okay, and if we could go ahead and adopt that, Senator Wilikowski.
Move that we adopt backslash P, as in Peter.
Is there an objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we have it before us. Let's go ahead and hear the changes. Michelle, did you want to come forward and sit beside Jeff as the committee aide? Let us know. Is that your preference, Mr. Turner? Have Ms. Seidman walk us through? Okay.
Madam Chair, my name is Michelle Seidman, staff to Senator Bill Wilikowski. On page 1, line 13, the word primary was substituted for the word sole. So it now says that scientists in the National Marine Fisheries Service have concluded that the primary reason for the population decline was the unsustainable subsistence harvest in the 1990s. By the way, these changes were based on conversations both with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and with the National Marine Fisheries Service, and came from staff from several offices.
We appreciate your work. That's a good change.
On page 2, line 8, the word little was substituted for the word no. So now the line reads, whereas there is little evidence that human activity has harmed the beluga whale's environment, migration, or ecology. Then on page 3, line 10, the word little again has been replaced the word no. So now the sentence reads, whereas there is little evidence that commercial or sport fishing is harming the beluga whale population. Okay. Then in the next line down, it's line 12, the word could has been substituted for will. This is to keep the same kind of construction we see later in the resolution. So now the line reads, whereas the commercial and sport fishing industries could be gravely threatened by a critical habitat designation. And finally, the Department of Fish and Game is involved in scientific study of beluga whales and their habitat, and one of the things that staff determined from conversations with the National Marine Fisheries Service is there didn't seem to be any correlation between the science and the actual area being set aside for critical habitat designation. So there's a proposal to add a new be it further resolved, and that would read that any final critical habitat designation be supported by sound science, including any science conducted by the State of Alaska marine mammal experts that clearly links any designated critical habitat to the conservation and recovery of Cook Inlet beluga whales.
Just a question. So you're done presenting the changes and you've moved now into a conceptual amendment?
It should be in there. I didn't check when this came in this morning. Is there no...
Yeah, that last part I didn't...
We're not finding it, so if you want to go ahead and check, we're on backslash P.
Okay. And I don't have that right in front of me. I just have the
original.
You
might share with Jeff's copy there.
I don't have it either.
Okay.
Here, have mine.
It's okay. This is why things need to be checked at the last moment.
So if it's not there, then we'll propose it, have Senator Wilkowski propose it as a conceptual amendment. Let's take a brief at ease. We're back on the record and we're discussing the final change to the CS backslash P. We're on page 3, line 31.
And you'll see that there is a final further resolved that the State of Alaska urges that any final critical habitat designation, including, this is, seems like there's funny wording here, it should probably say be supported by any final critical habitat designation be supported by let's do this. Can we strike the wording in the version P and do a conceptual amendment to return to the language that we asked legal for, and I will read that language?
Let's hear the language that you're proposing and then make the decision. What's
okay.
The language that...
The language that was requested is, be it further resolved that any final critical habitat designation be supported by sound science, including any science conducted by the State of Alaska marine mammal experts that clearly links any designated critical habitat to the conservation and recovery of Cook Inlet beluga whales.
I like it better. Does the committee like it better? I
think
it's clearer.
As read by Ms. Seidman, yes.
Yeah, it's much more awkward. Senator Stevens?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay, so we will go ahead then and complete the summary of changes to version P and then enter into an amendment, conceptual amendment. I'll just offer it as read by Ms. Seidman, and we will have a copy of that sent to legal to clarify that language that's much easier to read. We actually want to understand these things when we send them out. Okay, Senator French.
Your amendment's been offered.
It's been offered. Is there any objection to it? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then conceptual amendment number 1 carries to House Joint Resolution, CS for House Joint Resolution number 40. That brings the CS back before us for further committee discussion. Anything else you'd like to add, Ms. Seidman?
No, I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, and Mr. Turner, anything else you'd like to add?
Nothing, Madam Chair.
Okay. And anything else the committee would like to add with respect to the joint resolution? Hearing and seeing none, I'd take a motion.
Chair,
Senator Wilkowski.
Move that we move backslash CS for House Joint Resolution number 40 as amended from backslash version P to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal, zero fiscal notes.
Any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then the joint resolution has been. Thank you for your work on that, guys. Okay, that brings us to House Bill number 306. And Mr. Turner, we've got version W before us. And we adopted that last committee. So, Mr. Turner, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
For the record, Jeff Turner, staffer, Representative Millett. Nothing to add at this time.
Okay. And then I would take a motion. Senator Wilkowski.
Madam Chair, I'd move that we move CS for House Bill number 306 out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
There is an amendment? Okay, you're going to hold on to that motion. There is an amendment by Senator Huggins. Okay. Okay, I'll go ahead and offer it.
Don't have it.
We need to, let's take a brief Eddie's. Back in the record, and Senator Wilkowski, my apologies if you withdraw your motion you were in the midst of making.
I withdraw my motion.
That brings House Bill number 306 back before us with an amendment that I'll go ahead and offer on behalf of Senator Huggins. Amendment number 1, W2, and that is to insert following renewable in five separate portions of the energy policy. Alternative energy as well, so that nuclear energy is referenced. Is there an objection to amendment number one? Okay, hearing and seeing none, amendment number one carries. That brings House Bill 306 as amended back before us. Senator Wilkowski.
Madam Chair, I move that we move CS for House Bill number 306 backslash W as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there an objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, the bill has moved. We're adjourned.